I'm Emily Tackett, and this is Just So, a University of Oklahoma podcast about thought leaders in the heartland. We're having conversations with some of the brightest minds who are dreaming big, working hard, and paving the way to a brighter future. Starting your own business seems like the dream. Being your own boss, creating something from scratch, turning a good idea into something real, something profitable. Today, we're diving into what makes a successful entrepreneur, discovering why Oklahoma may be the best place to start a business, and talking about how you can be a part of it. Joining us today is OU professor Jeremy Short, who, like many entrepreneurs, had an unconventional career path. Can you tell us a little about your background?
Sure. Well, I was telling students about it this week. I think it's kind of a natural transition to becoming a professor and researcher and entrepreneurship in that area. I was probably the worst waiter at Cheddar's restaurant. And so I knew I had to do something else at some point in time. And I really wanted to be like a jazz guitar player. But then I also realized that the people that are good at it are really, really good. So over a series of different events over time, I decided to get my PhD. And now I do research in strategic management and entrepreneurship.
Oh, my gosh. Jazz guitar player turned entrepreneurial professor.
Just a natural career path, of course.
How did you decide that you wanted to go into entrepreneurship?
Well, I think it's just because I found it interesting. You know, my dad had worked to start his own business, and it's just I think something you're exposed to through television and movies, and I was always a big fan of that, but I didn't really have that much understanding and knowledge of. So I think it's just, what did Einstein say, that he had no special skills, he's just passionately curious, and it's something I was just curious about.
Yeah, I think shows like Shark Tank, for better or for worse, has kind of revitalized an interest in entrepreneurship, and everyone's kind of like, I want to be my own boss. What do you think the culture of entrepreneurship is like in the state of Oklahoma?
We know, when we have different faculty come in and interview for jobs and staff and things like that, I have one pitch that I've really learned works pretty well. And the pitch goes like this: my wife from Portland, Oregon, loves living here and would not live anywhere else. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. And I think the reason why is because, to me, Oklahoma City and Norman and the combined area is a lot like some of those towns in Austin. My brother lives in Austin that have had an entrepreneurial culture for many years, but now they're becoming very saturated, and it's hard to have a unique brand. It's hard to stand out. It's hard to get across town. So Oklahoma City and the things, from everything from getting a streetcar to Junction Coffee, having a Kickstarter campaign that was funded recently, all of these are this feeling of energy and being on the cusp. So I love it, and I think the entrepreneurial culture is very strong.
That's exciting, because yeah, I felt like there weren't as many people investing in startups. We don't have as many venture capitalists in Oklahoma. Is that true?
I don't know about that specific number as far as that goes. I think for me, I moved here 7 years ago, and the thing I noticed is we did not have that many grocery stores, or even as many coffee shops. So especially in Oklahoma City and definitely Norman as well, you're seeing just a huge energy of different kinds of small businesses and the food cart kind of places and pop-up shops. So now I think we're becoming kind of on trend with many places across the country and really the world.
There has been exponential growth in OKC over the last few years. A friend of mine moved out of the country for a year, and when she came back, she was always surprised to see cool new restaurants, coffee shops, and stores that had popped up in unique and colorful districts across the city in just the time that she was gone. OU grads have started successful businesses in the city like Hall's Pizza Kitchen, Capital's Ice Cream, and Curbside Chronicle. The infrastructure is so young, and the property is relatively cheap, leaving room for young people to move in and create businesses that add value to the city. But they can't do it on their own. They need help from investors and crowdfunding. You've done some research on crowdfunding, and can you talk a little bit about the rise of crowdfunding and how it got so popular?
Sure. So the crowdfunding idea is really not that new. One of the most famous examples is when they received the Statue of Liberty, they didn't have a platform to put it on. So I think Pulitzer at the time had an advertisement in the paper to try to get multiple small donations from individuals to pay for the platform. So now this concept's become pretty popular. So my research looks at that, and really, I would say, kind of two different, somewhat distinct areas. One area is social crowdfunding. So that's a platform. Kiva is one of the most popular ones. So you might give a micro loan to someone in a generally a different country where they might earn on average less than $10 a day or $10 a week to fund these micro ventures. So that's one kind of crowdfunding, which is very donation based. Another kind of crowdfunding, probably the most popular that maybe more people are familiar with, is Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. You invest and you get some sort of reward, some sort of token as of appreciation. So we're looking at really, you know, several researchers at OU all looking at crowdfunding as kind of a core area of our research strength these days.
With crowdfunding, are you seeing that a lot of entrepreneurs are using it to do startup work?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And you have, so well, the most recent one, I was just talking in class and a student told, I was unaware until a couple of days about Junction Coffee. So I'd been to their coffee shop. Now they're working, I think it was recently funded, a kind of a mobile unit coffee shop that would go out kind of like a tiny home, which I think is like a trailer, except for with wood floors, more or less.
Yeah.
So they would take that, and because coffee machine, the Junction Coffee, as I understand it, had trouble because the expensive machinery is not good to be jostled around, but moving around the tiny coffee shop model, you're not moving that machinery as often and jostling it. So that's one example of a recent business. And I know that's something that students look into. OU has we have a platform as well. So yeah. It's becoming a way that historically individuals would have to go to, like the Shark Tank model, venture capitalists, and it would be a very personable pitch to this individual kind of idea. But with crowdfunding, if people like your idea, you might get just tons of followers. Things like Donors Choose as well for teachers, I know, are also becoming really popular.
Yeah, so once people realized that it was a really viable option for different kinds of business ventures, everyone kind of jumped on this train. And did platforms like Kickstarter get oversaturated? How do people stand out on crowdfunding websites?
I think it's like anything. I think what works well is it's the kind of pitch things that we would teach in classes tend to do well in crowdfunding. So one research study we looked at talked about just basic elements of what is in psychology historically been called positive psychological capital. If you use language that says you're optimistic and hopeful and confident and resilient, you tended to be more likely to have your crowdfunding venture funded. So that's one study we looked at. We looked at another study I thought was kind of interesting in the political day and age, where we looked at elements of narcissism, how much you use narcissistic rhetoric. And we found that there was kind of a tipping point that if you use some, it looked good. And then if you use too much, that might be more problematic. And then we overlaid that with kind of a psychology research called social role theory. And so what social role theory says is the role that society might put on individuals might impact their efficacy. So historically, women might be punished for exhibiting that kind of bravado where men might be rewarded. So we looked in that and found some kind of interesting results on that also.
So I kind of want to unpack the different aspects of the research that you talked about. And the first one, you talked about positivity in the language. Sure. On the crowdfunding side. So what would that look like practically?
So what we do, basically, a lot of the research that I do is a complex form of counting words. So I would think of a construct that exists. In this case, it's been called positive psychological capital. And then within that, there's different dimensions. Do you use words that are hopeful? So it might be, we're hopeful, we funded, we're hopeful, we'll change the future, we're optimistic. So you come up with many, many synonyms, and then you see, do folks tend to react to that kind of language? Or are they punished by seeming to be too aggressive or puffery, or how impression management, how you might look at it?
Right.
So in that case, we found that using that kind of language was really effective in terms of getting your crowdfunding venture formatting. So it is good to have a positive attitude in this scenario.
Yeah, it didn't turn people off that you were optimistic about your chances of being funded.
Exactly. And the nice thing, because these are sort of a similar format of crowdfunding, the way the text is laid out, we can look at thousands of campaigns. I'm sure our sample was probably close to 2,000, many, many different campaigns. And so we have a good understanding of what's going on in that particular context.
And that's interesting, related to the narcissism part that you are also talking about, how you want to sound hopeful, you want to sound positive. But can you talk a little bit more and unpack the tipping point of narcissism that will...
Well, so we were interested in kind of two different things. One, we were interested in narcissism, language, and would it be okay? So historically in the strategic management tradition and how people have studied that, narcissistic language would be if I talk about myself, if I say I did this, Then a little bit, maybe if you said we did this. Then another narcissistic element in research is if I have a huge picture of myself, my campaign versus a picture of my team or a picture of my product. So there's multiple ways we would look at that. And what we found is that if you are maybe too demure and say nothing about yourself as an entrepreneur or your product, that's not good. But then if you're too over the top, that's problematic. And then the second, so one element is just testing that narcissism. And historically in the research literature, it's been looked at in terms of CEO shareholder letters and a annual report. So we were curious to see if that would apply in a similar way to crowdfunding. And it seems that it did. What hasn't been looked at as much, and we're starting to look at more recently in this study, looked at it, is this idea of the social roles. Will women be punished? We looked at LGBT versus, you know, if the stereotype of being flamboyant in some ways, would individuals that identify as that be punished or rewarded in the crowdfunding setting? And we found some evidence for that as well.
Do you think that the College of Price, I know that there's a lot of emphasis on experiential learning and launching businesses while you're still in college. And I think that's something that people expect from universities on the coast, but maybe not so much in the Midwest. Do you think that Price and the Innovation Hub is contributing to a culture that is more entrepreneurial in Oklahoma?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. So we have traditional projects that are set up as skills that help individuals in general, how to research, say, a franchise and how to pitch any kind of business. So those skills are transferable in general. And a lot of our graduates have gone on to really good careers in consulting. But now, you know, since I've been here and it's a culture that's started before I was here, you see this idea of really actually leading into launch and activities and really economic development and value generation while as a student or shortly after.
I think Forbes recently put out an article that was like Oklahoma City is one of the top cities to start businesses. What factors are going into that? Why do you think that it's a good place to start a business now?
Sure. Well, I think one of the main reasons is that it's historically the cost of living is so much lower, so you can take that risk. But I think the other thing that's helped now is we're starting to get a core group of services and commitment to the city. And Norman college towns always have kind of a hipster vibe. They always have amenities that might be above average for the average town in the U.S. So all those coming together, I think, is what's helped that. So I've, you know, people would move that maybe they can no longer afford the idea of living on the coast, and they really can't even afford Austin. And honestly, maybe their idea exists in Fort Worth. So, I mean, this is a natural place. And the development from the MAPS project, I think, has been a huge investment. I personally, having seen that what it's done to cities such as Portland, I think the streetcar is going to be a game-changing way to connect some of these areas that aren't that easy to get around in right now. The one good thing that's working out great for Oklahoma City now, we were slower to adopt a lot of businesses that you might have seen and, you know, cities that historically were seen as more entrepreneurial. But because we've been slower to develop, our infrastructure allows us to kind of move things around.
The infrastructure is so young.
And
we can build it all over again if we want to.
I would love to see a light rail from Norman to Oklahoma City one day. And they have the infrastructure with the train, so it wouldn't be that crazy an idea.
Really? How do we get that happening?
Norman map? I don't know. There'd have to be a collaboration. I guess we'd have to involve more as well, since that's where you would go through. I guess a three-city collaboration.
More if you're out there. We need a light rail. So in your professional and academic opinion, Norman and OKC are on the up and up, and people need to get in quick before...
That was my strategy, yes. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about entrepreneurship in Oklahoma.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today on Just So. Make sure to subscribe and leave a review. The show is produced by me, Emily Tackett, and Drew Bernard. Artwork by Amy Azure. For updates on new episodes, follow us on Twitter @U of Oklahoma. See you next time.